Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of presenting the gospel to the unbeliever.
All right, as we come today, we're going to continue with our series on evangelism. You know, as we look at our series, the title of the series is Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. We said that there are three components of a fire, and we've been emphasizing this week after week. There's the fuel, there's the air, and there's the heat. And just as there are three components of a fire, there are three areas, or the fire of evangelism has three components also. There is the fuel, which is the gospel. That is what we burn. There's the air, which is the Holy Spirit. And in evangelism, we must be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit for God to guide us and direct us. And the heat is your passion. That without your passion, there's no evangelism. That individuals who take a lackluster or lifeless attitude towards evangelism, there is an important part missing. Because we know that the fuel is there, we know the air is there, but this is where you come in. You must have the passion. And again, that's not to say you carry your Bible everywhere you go and beat people over the head with it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I hopefully will make things a little bit clearer this morning. So as we look back over the first 3 weeks, we see that the first week we talked about fanning the embers of evangelism. And when we talked about fanning the embers of evangelism, what we were dealing with there was how that in the hearts of God's people, that evangelism fires are burning low. And so we need to rekindle those fires and stoke them up again. The second week, we talked about understanding the gospel. And so we all know that the gospel is first and foremost what? The good news. That was weak. All right. So the gospel is? Amen. And the good news is the what? Amen. All right, I like that. All right. The good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we see the third week, we talked about the believer's role in evangelism. And we just have one role and two components of that one role, that we are to plant and to water. Okay, let's all say that again. That in evangelism, we have these two jobs, and that is to
plant and to water.
All right, I like that. So we've made a lot of headway here in this series. If you just leave with those things that we've talked about, then we are light years ahead. But today, we are going to look at 1 Peter 3:15. And in 1 Peter 3:15, the apostle says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts,
and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, this verse right here is what we would call an apologetic verse. And that don't mean we apologize for something, but apologetic in the theological sense means to give a defense. And so this verse right here means that as Christians, that we should always be ready to give a defense for the Christian faith. That whenever we run into somebody or whenever somebody has a question about the Christian faith, that as a Christian, we ought to have some kind of answer. And if we don't have an answer, we ought to be able to say, well, you know what? I can't answer that right now, but I'll get back with you. Let me give my pastor a call, or let me go do some research on that. But we need to have some kind of answer. We just don't need, when we are dealing with folks, we just don't need to stop and be stumped. And that's the problem that I see a lot of times with Christians, is that we just get stumped. That Jehovah Witnesses or some other group will come and they will begin to ask you questions, and then you left there like this, you know, and we need to have an answer. You know, again, not that we need to be able to answer it right on the spot, but again, we at the minimum need to be able to say, well, let me get back to you on that, and not just be left there kind of looking like a deer staring at headlights, right? All right. So this is an apologetic verse, and we're going to use this apologetic verse and relate it to evangelism. One of the great preachers, Charles Finney, he said this: it is the great business of every Christian to save souls. People complain that they do not know how to take hold of this matter. Why? The reason is plain enough. They have never studied it. They have never taken the proper pains to qualify themselves for the work. If you do not make it a matter of study, how you may successfully act in building upon the kingdom of Christ. And so we need to make it our habit to study how to answer those who would want to know about this gospel, about this good news, about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that as a Christian, this is Christianity. Watch this now. Don't miss this. This is Christianity 101. 101. My brothers and sisters, again, this is not some advanced level, deep theological course that we need to take. This is fundamental Christianity at its very bare bones. And that is that we as Christians be able to give a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here Finney says the reason that many Christians don't do it is because they don't know how. Now, there is a adage, and some of you have heard of this before, right? So this is not necessarily a Christian adage, but this is one that is used out there. And it says, proper prior planning prevents pitifully poor performance. Seven P's, right? Seven P's. And this is anything that you do on your job. You know, I like what, you know, I heard said this morning, or what was sung this morning, what was signed this morning. I'm what? I'm giving my what? Wait a minute. I'm giving my?
Yes.
All right, there you go. So in order for you to give your best, what do you got to do? You got to be prepared. You got to plan. You got to, you know, you just don't wander into giving your best. But the person that gives their best is equipped to give their best. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. How can we be equipped to give our best, especially in the area of evangelism. So let's break down 1 Peter 3:15. All right? And I'm going to go through this fairly quick. You have the notes, so you can refer back to them at some point in time. But there's a principle, and then there is the verse, and then there is what it means. And we're going to relate this to evangelism. So what is the principle as we look at evangelism, as we look at sharing the message? What is the principle? The principle is sanctification. What does he say? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. As the believer goes out to evangelize, the Lord must be sanctified in the heart. This means that God is the one who is preeminent in your heart. He is set apart as the focus of the believer's motivation for evangelism. That when I sanctify my heart, that everything that I do it with God in mind. As I live my life, I live it with God in mind. The problem with many of God's people is that we live our lives day by day by day, and God is not in our plans, God is not in our thoughts, and God is not in our hearts. Do you live your life under the all-seeing eye of God? Do you realize that God is not only with you, but do you sanctify him in your heart? Do you say, God, I honor you in my heart, Lord. I love you and I want to do what you have called me to do. So he says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. That's sanctification. You know, when I'm driving in my car, I'm mindful of the Lord in my heart. When I'm working out at the gym, I'm mindful of the Lord in my heart. That when I'm a meeting with other people, I'm mindful of the Lord that's in my heart. So if I'm always mindful of the Lord that's in my heart, and I'm getting ahead of myself, let me go on, because I have a tendency to get ahead of myself, which goes to the next thing, and that is preparation. We move from sanctification to preparation. And what does he say? He says, be ready. The believer prepares for evangelism by having a plan for evangelism. So that's, and we're going to talk about that in a second. Having a plan for evangelism. Now, again, notice some other things that should be a part of your life. Personal devotions, studying the word, attending a Bible study, and worship services. See, these things all work in preparing you to deal with other people. You know, the reason that some people don't know how to deal with others is because they don't spend any time with the Lord. They don't have a quiet time. You know, a lot of times when you deal with other folks, you know where answers are going to come from? They're going to be birthed right out of your quiet time. Because you've been spending time with God. Because you've been coming and studying the Word of God. Because you've been sitting under the Word of God. And so there's just things that naturally flow out of your heart. They naturally flow out of your life. And then you don't necessarily have to get online and look up this or look up that. You don't have to run and call somebody for this or that. But because you have been spending time in the presence of God, because you have been sitting under the Word of God, that when you run into somebody that does not know Christ, that I'm going to say over half of the time you should be prepared to give them an answer. You know what? I read a statistic, and it says 95% of Christians, 95% of Christians have never led anybody to the Lord. And then I went on to read the study, and one of the reasons why they have never led anybody to the Lord, you know why? Because they don't know how. They don't know what to say. So after this message today, we're going to take that excuse away from all of you. That you will not be able to walk away from here today saying, I don't know how. Because we already know what the gospel is. We know it's the good news, and we know what the good news is. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he says, be ready. That you need to prepare your heart. You need to be ready at any time. You know, a lot of times as a pastor, people stop me. They'll stop me and ask me questions. I need to be ready. And if I don't know the answer, then I need to say, again, I'll get back with you. You know, I'm on a program, and it's called Hard Questions. And at first, we didn't even know what the question was. We just got on air, and they popped the question at us as we were sitting right there on air. And so you had to have an answer. Now, a lot of that stuff, I couldn't be shooting off the hip. I couldn't be pulling out of air. You know where a lot of that stuff came from? It came from the fact that I had already been in the Word. I was given answers of stuff that I had already studied because I was having my devotion, because I was walking with God. I was able to answer. And you know what? I am no better than anybody sitting here today. You know, I got to study just like everybody else. You know, there's no magic wand that God puts over the preacher. Now, you know, we might have an anointing once we begin to carry the word, but there's no magic wand that comes over me and all of a sudden I got it. I got to work just as hard as trying to memorize a verse, if not harder now that I'm, if not harder. So, you know, I'm no different. And it's just a matter of making it a priority in your life. You know, if you're going to take this thing called Christianity serious, then there ought to be some things that are characteristic of your life. And a lot of it is not that you're trying to get ready. Like as Peter said, you need to already be ready. All right? And notice what he says. The principle, continuation. Sometimes, part of the times, every now and then. No, he said, always. The believer should never be taken off guard. There should be a constant awareness of being prepared to take advantage of opportunities to spread the gospel. Always. If you continue on. The argumentation. What? Give an answer. Give an answer. The use of the term argumentation does not mean to get in an argument. All right, doesn't mean that. The word comes from the Greek word apologia, again, apologetics, where we get the word apologetics. This means to defend the faith. The word was a legal term which meant to give a well-reasoned argument that if nothing else, and again, I'm going to show you this morning, if nothing else about your Christian faith, if nothing else, you ought to be able to give a well-reasoned argument as to why you a Christian. Saints, that's the bottom line. You ought to be able to give a well-reasoned argument why you're a child of God. You know, remember the question that I asked at the beginning of this series. If somebody was laying on the ground and they were dying, and they asked you, how can I get to heaven? What would you tell them? Hopefully, you've come a long way since the first couple of weeks. Hopefully, you've come a long way since the first couple of weeks. All right? The population, to who? Every man. You know, we can't be selective with the gospel. You know, we got to be willing and ready to share it with everybody. You know, black, white, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, on your job, not on your job. You got to be ready. It says every man in the interrogation that asketh you a reason. The word reason means the believer should be ready to give an account of his or her belief to all who ask. All right. The expectation of the hope that's in you. Right. You ought to be able to share the hope. Why do you have hope? You know, every time I do the funeral / homegoing service of an individual that knew the Lord, what is their hope? Their hope is one day, well, not them, for them, because they're in the presence of the Lord. So not one day, you better be, right? You better be in the presence of the Lord. But what is the hope? The hope is that for us, one day, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. What is the reality? The reality is for the individual that knows Christ to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they have that awareness. They come to that reality of knowing that they are in the presence of God. That's our hope. So what is my hope? My hope is that one day, when I leave this life, and I don't know when it's going to be, but one day when I leave this life, I'm going to stand in the presence of the Lord. That's my hope. And what is the hope? It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the presentation. How should I do it? I shall do it with meekness and fear. What does that mean? Meekness means to be humble, yet not timid. Confident, yet not overbearing. Well-reasoned, yet not argumentative. You know, as I said last week, our job is to sow and to plant. It's not to argue people into their salvation. It's not to beat people up and into salvation. He said, do it with what? Meekness, right? With humbleness, with confidence, with a well-reasoned argument, yet do it with fear. That I do it like God, and He is looking over my shoulder. And I do it with fear. I've shared the illustration here before about the doctor who was getting ready to go in to perform a heart surgery. And somebody said, oh, you've done many of these heart surgeries before. You can probably do it with your eyes closed. And he said, no. He said, every time I do a heart surgery, I do it with the same care and caution that I did the first one. I do it with the utmost attention to every detail, and I do it with the utmost skills that I have. And so that's what it means in fear. It means that we're doing it like God is watching over us, and He is, and we're doing it with care and caution, and we're doing it, as we sang earlier, giving it our best. All right, so I got that out of the way. So, that's to be our spirit. That's to be our heart. And so let's look at what your plan is. Leave that up there for a minute. Let me ask you a question. What is your plan? One Christian laid out his plan for evangelism. The second Christian said, I don't like your plan. The first Christian said, well, what's your plan? The second Christian said, well, I don't have a plan. The first Christian said, well, I like my plan better than yours. Somebody asked D.L. Moody or said to D.L. Moody, I don't like the way you do evangelism. And Moody said, I don't like the way that you don't do evangelism. So when we think about what's your plan? If I was to ask you right now, what is your plan for evangelism? Everybody ought to have some kind of plan. Well, let me offer a couple of things to you this morning. All right. That the first thing I want to say, if you'll go to that next slide, that, you know, I'm so passionate about this thing that actually, you know, about a year ago, I wrote a track. And the track that I wrote is, have you ever thought about the meaning of life? And then I start the track. As you can see, I wish I had copied it and put it up there, but there's not a whole lot of reading in there. But I talk about what are people's viewpoints of life as they pursue life. And a couple things that people would say the meaning of life is: to pursue happiness, to make the world a better place, to have peace with self and others, to understand the mysteries of the universe, to get a good education and earn a living. These are all things that people think about life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of presenting the gospel to the unbeliever. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, presenting the gospel to the unbeliever, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request presenting the gospel to the unbeliever. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request presenting the gospel to the unbeliever. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.